This is The Art of Awesome, episode number 176.
I think when you travel, you get experience a bunch of different cultures and perspectives and lifestyles and everything, and you live more open-mindedly, maybe, is the best way to say that.
Hit it!
That's what I'm talking about!
Wait!
Okay, now, from the beginning.
Hit it, boys.
Welcome to The Art of Awesome. My name is Nick Troutman, and I'm a professional athlete, entrepreneur, family man, and adventure seeker. My goal is to share with you stories, knowledge, and inspiration as we continue on the journey together, searching for that secret sauce to producing awesome results in everyday life. Thanks for spending some time with me today, and let's get to it.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Art of Awesome podcast. I am your host, Nick Troutman, and this is the show where we search for the secret sauce to success and the difference between the average and the awesome. Today, we've got another deep dive interview as I get to sit down with a great friend of mine, young Abby Holcomb, the current junior women's world champion, as we talk all about her journey from being a little intimidated in paddling into becoming the world champion that she is today, as well as the training that she's doing right now for the up-and-coming World Cup that is less than 2 weeks away, and the World Championships where she'll be competing next year in the senior division. So very fun conversation and excited to share it with you guys. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Here is Abby Holcomb. Well, I am super excited to talk with the young Abby Holcomb as, I'm stoked because I think I don't know where you believe I helped with your kayaking career or not, but I remember paddling with you when you were super young. You've had a phenomenal year this year paddling. We were over in England together and you won the Junior Freestyle Kayak World Championships in the Junior Women's Division over in England. That was awesome. So super proud of you. And I'd love to hear a little bit of your kind of backstory, how you got into paddling. And I want to hear a little bit as well as kind of like your journey from being a young paddler, like almost like a kid into paddling, into obviously the fact that you're a world champion now, but where it kind of switched, because I remember when you were super young, you weren't that into paddling. You were like a little nervous or a little intimidated by it, and kind of how that switch and transition happened. Go ahead and kick it off for us, Abby, and tell us a little bit about how you got into paddling.
Awesome. So I started kayaking at 4. My parents started a kids kayak club because I didn't enjoy paddling. And so they figured if I had friends on the river, maybe I would like it a little bit more. And a part of their kids kayaking program, they had a sticker, like a merit badge program, like Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts. And that's when I like realized I'm really competitive. And I like to compete. And because there was competition, I was able to get over some of my fears of paddling because I wanted to get all the stickers first. So I started to get my roll and my wet exit and learning strokes and all of that. And then around that time, I think, is when I met you and Emily. And you guys definitely kickstarted my paddling and showed me how much fun it is and helped me get over my fears. There's one day on the Ottawa with Emily specifically where she got me, I think I got my first combat roll with Emily when I was like 7 or 8.
How old were you when I paddled with you in Lyons? You were like
like 7.
Okay, you were a small, red, fun one.
Yeah, I found a journal that I wrote that summer, and it was like, oh my God, I went kayaking with Emily and Nick, and they made me do rolls. They're the worst, but they're so cool. I'll have to find it. I'll send a picture to you sometime.
That's
it's pretty
funny.
Good.
That's funny.
And so I got a combat roll, but I was scared to death of flipping over, and I didn't flip over or do anything that would possibly flip me over for many years. And one day, I think Emily pushed me into a push button on the Ottawa River with her paddle, and I got a combat roll. I think it was actually more like, if you don't surf push button and you don't flip, you have to run all the rapids downstreams backwards, or I'll leave you.
sounds like how Emily would push you.
So I got my first combat roll, and after that, everything changed, and I love the river, I love paddling. And then I got into freestyle because there's lower risk, and I found that more enjoyable. And my competitive side kicked in, and I started competing more and training freestyle more. And yeah, the rest is history.
That's awesome. So when you got that first combat role, how old were you then?
It was actually during the Lions outdoor games. I think I was 7.
7.
And then when I actually started rolling consistently, I think I was 11.
Okay. And when did you start competing?
I think at 7, because it was 7. During the competition that I got my first combat role.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. In like the cadet the cadet class.
At Lions. And then I got my first loop at 12 during Reno River Fest.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've definitely loved watching your progression. How old are you now, by the way?
18.
Yeah. So this is your last year as a junior.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just finished World Championships over in England. We're actually here in Columbus, Georgia for the World Cup in, what is it, like a week and a half, 2 weeks away?
Something like that.
Very excited to see you compete here as well. And it's just been awesome to see that kind of progression from, you know, a young youth. I don't know if you want me to call you a kid or not, but from like the 7-year-old version to the 18-year-old version, man, it makes me think, makes me feel old if I've been paddling with you for 11 years already and you're only 18. Anyway, But I start to see that with my kids now, because like, so Tucker is 9 and he's starting to, like, he got his first combat roles this summer and stuff like that and started surfing around or whatever. And it's funny because I see him in a very similar state of the like 7 or 9-year-old Abby. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I can roll, I can run rapids. I'm not super confident and I'm not sure if I really love this, but it's fun when I do it, but it's still intimidating.
Totally.
What were some of the things that kind of helped you overcome those fears or kind of overcome that intimidation at first?
I think Emily. Peer pressuring from Emily. But I've looked at my fears irrational and rational.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, Good Wave, I've been scared of Good Wave here in Columbus, where the World Cups will be forever.
Mm-hmm.
Totally irrational fear. What's going to happen to me? There's nothing behind it. I might flip upside down, but I've been rolling since I was 11.
Right.
I'll be fine. And then there's like rational fears, where there's a danger or you might get hurt or injured or whatever. And I think looking at it in that way has helped a lot.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's exactly how I kind of analyze fear as well a little bit. So I kind of like how you're analyzing it. And it's the same way that I try to do so. I mean, I think anybody that kind of has that fear, analyzing it that way is the ideal way to, the easiest way maybe to kind of overcome fears and overcome doubt or anything like that. It isn't always easy it still isn't easy at any age, but especially when you're like young, because trying to, you know, differentiate the difference between like what is danger and what is feared, you know, what is real and what is fake, what is like kind of made up.
Yeah.
Especially as a young kid, like you're still experiencing everything and you're trying to figure out like, okay, what's like an actual, you know, tangible danger? What's more just like fear that I'm just like more nervous about? So yeah, I also want to hear how traveling has affected your life as a whole, because when we first met and you were 7 or 9 or however old you were in Lyons, you guys lived in Lyons, Colorado. That's where you lived, right?
In Boulder. Yeah.
Oh, you lived in Boulder. Okay.
Yeah, same thing.
Near Lyons.
Yeah.
But eventually you guys kind of like your parents sold the house, packed up, and you guys moved into an RV. So how has that whole, explain, I guess, that whole, you know, the last 10 years of traveling. Has it been 10 years or?
I think we're like 8 or 9.
8 or 9 years. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Explain your kind of journey into the RV lifestyle and and maybe some of the biggest gains that you've got from the ability to just kind of travel around in the RV.
Yeah. I think the biggest gain is traveling around kayaking with everyone here that's in the parking lot in Columbus, you know, you guys and all the other pro athletes that I've gotten to train and hang out with has definitely been like the biggest gain. I think when you travel, you get experience a bunch of different cultures and perspectives and lifestyles and everything. And you live more open-mindedly, maybe is the best way to say that. And you just treat everything differently. And I'm really grateful for all the opportunities I've had to see different ways to train and paddle and live and everything. I think it's definitely shaped me into who I am now and will continue to shape me as I travel more.
I love that answer. And I mainly love it because one, that I have a very similar idea of the fact that it I'm grateful for the opportunities of travel and the fact that it opens up my eyes to different ways that people live and experience life and, you know, eat or exercise or whatever. But I also love the fact that I'm thinking of you almost as like a further ahead version of like where my kids might be, you know, in whatever 10, 15 years time. And I've always hoped that the ability to travel, that like 1 year that they'll look back on it and be grateful for the fact that we've been able to do it. Because right now I'm pretty sure they're just like, they don't know any different because it's just like all we've ever done. And so I hope at some point in their life they can look back and be like, oh yeah, I'm grateful for the ability to travel. Because when you guys, so you were in like normal school when you left.
Yeah.
Were you ever like bummed that you had to leave school and leave your friends and stuff? Because Emily, my wife, she also grew up for whatever it was, 8 years traveling full time in an RV like you guys. And at first she wasn't super stoked on it because she had to leave all of her friends from school. And like the ability to travel, it was more of like a past thing where like after the fact you look back and you're like, oh, that was awesome. And I love all the experiences and everything that I was able to learn and gain from it. But maybe like immediately you're kind of like, no, I'd much rather be with my friends at school. So how was that transition for you? Or were you immediately stoked to just like jump in the RV and go? Or did your parents even like have that conversation with you? Like, hey, what are your thoughts on leaving school? Or like, hey, we just sold the house and you've got no option. We're just getting in the trailer and going.
So it all started because my parents wanted to move from Boulder, Colorado to Buena Vista. So we wanted to go live in the mountains. So we were going to move.
Okay, got it.
And so we packed up the house and we're going to move. And they're like, well, if we're going to move, we should go for a week-long road trip and then a month-long road trip and then 6 months. And then finally, like, okay, we're going to go for a year. And so it was only supposed to be a year and then we're going to move back into the house. And at first I was like, what am I going to do with my friends? But I was already feeling that way because we were changing schools anyways. We were moving anyways.
Right.
So it wasn't a question of whether or not I keep my friends. It was just where we're living. And for the first year on the road, my parents got me a phone so I could stay in touch with my friends in Boulder, which I think was the best thing they could have done to make that transition smoother. And then after a year, we all loved it so much that we just kept traveling and going. My parents still look at houses and properties in Buena Vista every time we're there, but they haven't gotten one yet. So we're still on the road, which is awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Was it like after the year, was it like, oh, we'll do like another 6 months or another year? Or was it after a year, you're like, oh, let's just do this indefinitely because this is way better?
I honestly don't know. Yeah. I think it might have been like, oh, we'll go for another month and then another month. And then it was just like, why put a time cap on it? Because this is going really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, traveling around definitely is phenomenal, and I love doing it. And I love doing it with you and your parents.
Yeah.
We've done some really fun adventures.
Definitely.
I'm trying to think, maybe down in Florida when we did the Dry Tortugas, that was like one of my favorite trips yet. I want to go back there for sure.
Me too.
So after traveling around your, like, whatever, the last 8 years of your life now, you have become a phenomenal paddler, just won the world championship, so you're fresh off a win, getting the WC title under your belt. Now we're going into World Cups here. What's kind of training looking like for you? And how's everything going for World Cups in like the next week and a half?
It's going really good. I've been paddling a lot. It's really hot. We had to figure out how to do that. At one point, we bought ice packs, and we were like trying to figure out if we could tape them to us, if that'd make our session go any better. It didn't help. We put our rash guards before we paddled in a cooler. That also didn't help. we've been going a little crazy with the heat, but it's been going really good. I'm actually, I am technically still a junior, but I'm competing in the senior class for World Cups. The next World Championships, I'll be a senior, so I figured it was the best experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have any pressure or expectations going into it. I just want to paddle my best and see how it goes. And I'm really excited to paddle with all the ladies that I've looked up to forever.
That's super cool. And so next year, the World Championships, because of COVID, there was like a whole delay with the last World Championships. They got pushed a year. And so this year we go back-to-back Worlds, World Championships, back-to-back events in the World Cup and World Championships the same year. So we did England this year. We're doing World Cup this fall. And we do the World Championships here again in Columbus next fall. So next year you'll be in the senior women's.
Exactly.
And so I think training and competing here as almost like a pre-run, or like a, think of it really as a training round for the World Championships next year, is a great mentality, great way to look at it. And I think that's awesome. Yeah. You've also been training with Audley Robinson-Shaw, who is the current world champion as well, mm-hmm. In the seniors. How's that been going, training against, you know, maybe one of your biggest competitors?
It's been amazing. We both share the same coach, and so we learn the same way, and our coach puts us, Dennis Newton is our coach, and mm-hmm. he puts us together, and we work together and bounce ideas off of each other, and it's been really cool. We both elevate each other up, which is an experience I haven't really had before with someone my age, mm-hmm. and so it's been really special, and I think we're both really grateful for our relationship.
I think that's one of the best things to do, is to find someone to do any sport or any activity with, whether it be a hobby or whether it be, you know, a professional sport career. I found throughout my entire career that I always excelled when I had someone pushing with me, that I could go and we would be training, you know, practically the same way, and go train together and study together and analyze things together. And it's been different people kind of throughout the, gosh, it's almost been 20 years now of paddling. But to have that person is so ideal.
Absolutely.
And I think it's awesome that you're doing it with, not only finding someone to do it with, but to do it with the fellow current world champion is, yeah. I mean, it's going to be one of the best ways to just continue to excel as fast as possible.
Absolutely.
We're going into the World Cup. We're going into the World Championships next year. At 18, what is this whole like outlook? What does the next 3 to 5 years look like for you? Is university part of it? Are you going to go to college? Do you know what you're going to study? Or you're just like, hey, I'm a pro kayaker and I'm just going to do this for the next little while and I'll figure life out later on.
So traveling, my parents work full time. They mm-hmm. own their own business. And so I always had to balance my training schedule around their work schedule and vice versa. And obviously I'm really grateful they worked, and I totally understood that we had to go other places because that's how we paid for our travels and for mm-hmm. my time to train. But now that I'm 18, I'm excited to focus purely on kayaking and just see how far I can take it. I've been working on my social media and trying to build that to support myself.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, that's super cool. I had definitely a similar journey when I was 18. I didn't travel around with my parents, but I traveled around with my now wife's parents for a little bit. But mainly Emily and I had just gotten a car, and she had a Subaru that I think she got from her uncle. And we just traveled around and did the same thing and tried to figure out this whole like kayaking thing. My idea was at 18 anyway, and still kind of is to this day, that I was like, oh, I could go to school, you know, whenever I want in life. You know, there's no age cap on going to college or university. And I can study any program or anything that I want. So I'm just going to, you know, chase my dreams, follow my passion right now, and I'll just do that in as long as I can. And then if I have something else that I want to, you know, pursue later on, then I'll go pursue that later on. So I think that's super cool that you're just doing what you want, and I wish you the absolute best of luck with everything in your journey in life.
Thank you.
With your professional sports, your kayaking, the World Cup here in a couple weeks, and the World Championships next year. I'm going to move us on to the next part of the show and fire a couple quick questions on that I ask all of my guests. Call this part the fire round. So
get
ready for it, Abby. First question is, do you have a favorite quote in life? Or a current quote that maybe you live by?
Oh, I don't know. There's so much pressure. Not right now.
Blanking. No, that's all good. Yeah. Do you by chance have a favorite book or current book that you read? Or do you read? Okay. Do kids even read anymore at 18? Do you read or do you just TikTok?
I do read. I just got a Kindle. I've been reading. Online school completely killed reading for me. I haven't read in forever, but mm-hmm. I miss school and I miss learning. And so I thought it was a good time to get a book and read. So I'm taking book suggestions. I'm loving the book list from friends.
Awesome.
Definitely wanting to get back into reading.
Have you read, a book that I would suggest, and I suggest this to lots of athletes, is Thinking, Body, Dancing, Mind. Have you read that one?
I haven't, but I'll put it on my list.
It's definitely a worthy book, especially before the World Championships next year.
Cool.
It's a good one.
Awesome. Thank you.
It's hard for me to ask this next question because you're only 18 and you're so young, but if you could go back in time to the
gosh, the 15-year-old version of you that's like 3 years ago? What about like the 13-year-old version of you, which is still only 5 years ago? But if you could go back in time to like the 13-year-old version of you, what advice would you give yourself?
I think I would say it's okay to be scared as long as it doesn't hold you back from what you want to do and what you love. To go to the gym so you don't get as many injuries, and to just keep doing what you love and paddling hard, and everything will work out.
I love that, Abby. That is amazing. What's the best way for anybody to kind of reach out and follow along if they want to check you out on social media or just kind of follow along your journey?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at adventurous.miss.
Adventurous.miss. Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely, I encourage everybody out there to go check out Abby Holcomb on Instagram. Give her a follow. She's got some pretty amazing content, lots of pogo flips and flatwater loops, mainly pogo flips, but it's really cool. Also, something that I try to do as much as I can for all my guests, because I get so much value out of just these conversations, is I want to try to provide as much value as I can. So is there anything currently, Abby, that you're focusing on that I might be able to help you out with, or possibly even my listeners?
My offside back blunt. I need some coaching.
Okay. We'll go out this afternoon.
Maybe.
I'll try to give you some pointers.
I can do it. I do the same side over and over again. I am not aware.
Oh, like you...
It's like, I can do it, I just...
Which one's your onside and which one's your offside? Do you remember?
I think left is my offside, maybe.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay, I'll watch this afternoon. We'll work on it.
Yeah.
The best way when I get stuck on a move, I'll like practice it in the flat water before I go into the features that I'm like, almost like to like drill it into like that muscle memory into my mind.
Yeah.
And then I go out on the wave and try and do it then. So maybe try that. Like maybe try the flat water... Offside backstabs in the flat water? I don't know.
When I get it, it's really good. I just go for the other side every time. Yeah.
We'll work on that
afternoon. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you again so very much for joining me, Abby. This was a super fun conversation. I wish you the absolute best. For all my listeners out there, I hope you got some value out of this conversation. Please go give Abby a follow and stay tuned for the upcoming World Cup and the World Championships next year here in Columbus, Georgia. Thank you guys so very much for tuning in and for listening. And if you guys haven't already, please, if you guys could share this out with one person, somebody that you think might need to hear this, it would greatly help build our community and collective and would be greatly appreciated by me. So thank you guys for doing that. I am Nick Troutman here with Abby Holcomb in Columbus, Georgia, signing off, wishing you all a truly awesome day. Cheers.